Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Hey guys, welcome to episode 133. Just have to apologize. A bunch of our audio was skipping and something with Google Hangouts went kind of funky today. So the episode kind of jumps around a bit. You might miss some pieces here and there. Sorry about that, but hopefully there's still enough there to entertain you on your Monday. So have a great week. Thanks for listening.
And I'm hiding up here in the only quiet room in my house, which is our baby's room. And Derek is laying on a bed topless, talking to us on his phone. Yeah. And Daniel Freitas is joining us sitting on the floor of a room. So we are all in very professional environments for this podcast recording.
I'm growing in reverse, Tim. I've gotten smaller.
Little predictions about the future of the video game industry. This is not like our dreams of what we'd love to happen. This is what we think will happen. And so we'll get to those in a little bit. But let's start off with stuff we're playing. Let's get going with our guest, Daniel, first. What have you been playing recently?
Tim, can I counter offer with my top?
You want to give us your 10 through 1 games of all time?
It's yeah, Final I'll do Fantasy it real. I'll do it real quick. One. Actually, yeah. Okay. Yep. There you go.
Doesn't have Titus.
That's what I can do.
Final 2 is actually my first PlayStation 1 game, so that's why that has a special. Yeah.
And you know, Onimusha.
Better.
Now that's a controversial statement. One's better than two, huh? Interesting.
I think two's better, but.
I've actually only played Onimusha 3, I think. The one when you switch places with the guy from France.
Jean Reno?
Yeah, I thought he
was.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Yeah. I was going to say most people say it's the least.
We're going back to Onimusha, but then I realized this is Sony, so no.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Solid top 10. I mean, most of them are wrong, but I'm glad you included some good games in there, at least. That's good. Yeah.
I hate you so much. Why are you being such a Derek? Why are you doing this?
Because I'm sitting in a baby room and it's hot right now. And
trying to flip mode.
Ah, okay.
I realized how boring our show would be if we're both just nice. But the good news so far, folks, is Derek hasn't been all that nice. So we're good to go so far.
There you go.
I know.
Yeah.
But I am doing better with my family. Like, I actually stay calm and I'm kind of nice. Like, I'll like look at Megan and be like, I'm getting mad. Help me.
Help me.
Talk to the kids for me because I'm getting mad and she'll be like, okay, that's awesome.
At least you acknowledge.
Yeah. Please help me.
No, that's actually the benefit of when we shifted over to doing video chats for this. I could actually see on your face. You don't get mad when we talk. You just get so bored. Yeah. Your whole body demeanor just starts to just drop and you're like, I'd rather be doing anything else than listening to Tim read news about these indie games that I don't care about.
Oh God, those are the worst.
Can we just talk about indies like this whole episode?
I do want to. It is awesome. Yeah. But my kids have found a new addiction. We bought this on sale on the Nintendo eShop for the Switch and they're playing The Escapist 2 all the time.
Oh, okay. Really?
They love that little game. Basically, the idea is you are prisoners. It's made by Team 17, and so a lot of the little talking bubbles are very reminiscent to the Worms games that they also made. Very silly sense of humor. It's very colorful, whatever. But the idea is you start with nothing, and you have a routine you have to go through in prison, and as you go through the game, the prisons get tougher, and the guards get tougher, and there's more security cameras and dogs and whatever else. The idea is just to get out of prison, and you do that by completing missions for other prisoners. You earn money, you can buy stuff from other prisoners, you can craft items from stuff that you find or steal, and then eventually get your way out of there. You can steal a uniform and figure it out that way, or figure out how to cut through a vent or chip your way through a wall or underground. It's all very, again, cartoony and colorful, but it's also surprisingly complex. Not necessarily a game that I'm playing solo. I tried it out. I thought this is kind of cool, but it's only $11 or $11.99 or something like that on the eShop this week, and I bought it and my kids are hooked. Like, all of them gather around. It's only two players at a time, but they can play it on split screen and they just swap. And every night when you have to go to sleep, they hand the controller off to run the next day. And they are loving it, man. That game is...
I didn't know that was from the guys that did the Worms game, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I do think it is a solid multiplayer game, especially if your kid's kind of like that puzzle solving. It's a little bit adventure, a little bit kind of RPG, because you can build up your strength and intelligence in order to do certain things. So it does have an old school look to it, but whatever. It's pretty fun for the kids, at least. So there you go. Escapist 2. I think we should, that should be a regular segment, is This Week in DFC.
No, there you go. Really, you really, I like it. No. I like it.
No. And if there is no nickname of DFC, Daniel Freitas something.
Yeah, it's not my favorite thing in the world. But
you can't say the C word, but I think anybody with a brain can figure out what I'm calling Daniel Freitas.
No, it's cool.
It rhymes with Hunt.
Yeah, no, let's keep digging down this hole. Let's keep pulling at this thread.
It stands for cool. All right, shut up.
Octopath, I'm about 15 or 16 hours into it. I've got 7 of the characters. My highest level is level 20, I think. That game is awesome.
I'm actually playing it right now, Tim.
Like as we are recording. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for your full attention. a little bit repetitive because it's that thing where you have towns separated by these areas where there's random battles, and that's where you level up. And there's treasure chests that are off these somewhat hidden paths to find. I mean, it's very mid-90s, late SNES, early PS1 RPG type of game. It reminds me a lot of my favorites, like Suikoden 2 and Chrono Trigger. So I love the format. I think the battles are a blast. I love the break system, where they have a little shield with certain weaknesses. And once you break them, then they're vulnerable to everything. And you can really lay on the damage. And you can also charge up these little BP things that give you bonus attacks. And there's lots of cool. And apparently there's a job system too, which I am about to unlock, apparently, where you can switch jobs and combine jobs between characters. I mean, it's just a really cool, fully fledged throwback JRPG that all of us who are always going on and on about our SNES and PS1 games that we love, Daniel, you and I especially, it's the exact game that we've always wanted. It's the game that I Am Setsuna and Lost Sphere weren't quite ready to hit. It's that this is that game. So
they're not nearly as fleshed as this game at all.
Absolutely. This one's got really interesting characters, some annoying dialogue at times. Certain characters talk in weird ways, and there's definitely some cheesy moments, but again, nothing more cheesy than your mid-90s RPGs that we all kind of loved anyway. So
what about the story though, because that's what I'm hearing is the weak part, is that it's just individual stories. There's no like overarching story that brings them together.
That's kind of my beef with it. I get that
a group that's on a mission to do something, and that's why some of the reviewers were complaining about it. They're like, this game's really fun to play, but there's no like overarching story where there's this none. Group of characters come together to save the world.
There's absolutely something. None. I saw opportunities as I'm playing it that I'm like, oh, they actually could have made characters or villains from this one tie into that one. And there's certain mysteries that are in one that certainly could tie into the others. I think there were opportunities to do that, but for some reason, the choice was made to make this a series of 8 short stories where you happen to be able to group up for the battles essentially and the adventuring and some of the special abilities they have. Other than that, it seriously is 8 short stories from what I can tell. Now I'm not even to any of their chapter 2 parts yet. I'm still collecting all the characters in their chapter 1s. They do a good job of, as you collect characters, the difficulty and level for the subsequent character that you're going to get goes up, so you can't just cheese your way through. It is a little bit easier when you have more people, but they do increase the level of the enemies. So when you collect your first character, you're probably around level 5 or 6 when you head to the next area, maybe. And then those enemies are stronger than if you had started with that guy. And so they keep increasing that. So I think it actually keeps the challenge somewhat even. But that is certainly a valid complaint. There is not, like in Final Fantasy VI, every character had their own storyline. Most Final Fantasy games do this, but 6 did, I think, an exceptional job of this, where they had their own storylines that you could go and fully pursue a very, at times, emotional story. Other characters were there with you, though, and they would chime in on the story as well. But there was this overarching enemy. There was this major threat to the world that you were all trying to take down. So to Derek's point, that is a valid issue, because it can make you quickly, I think, it can make some people lose interest in the game, because it's like, well, I don't need to find out what happens because there's really not a.
I lost interest in the game because it looks like trash.
It does not look like trash. That game is gorgeous.
It's old school in a staple. That's fine.
But I really, really good. So, like, if they ever.
They liked it.
Oh, thanks. I don't need to see. I don't need to see that. Pass. Really enjoying it. And I've been convinced because Nintendo, there's been all these announcements of games coming out within the next week that I'm excited about, like Salt and Sanctuary is coming to Switch, Iconoclast, which Derek, you and I mentioned briefly. We don't know much about it, but I read up on it because it's coming to Switch. Picross 2 is coming out, and Dead Cells. A bunch of these really cool $15 to $30 games are coming out that I'm pretty pumped about because I don't have a lot between now and Spider-Man. So these are going to be good holdovers alongside Octopath.
Spider-Man.
So that's what I've been playing. That's what I'm looking forward to. Daniel, what about you?
The music and the art is beautiful. There. The lies.
Really do. So good looking.
He's just thinking about Sasan. That's all he's doing. He doesn't.
We like each other.
That is classic.
Even talk.
It would be purely physical.
Just hug.
Really. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess it's a digital copy of Destiny 2 for $20 because it came with the season pass or the two expansions. So I bought that on Xbox. And then the other thing is Friday night I was able to play, jump back into Borderlands 2 with Jesse White. Probably like a year and a half ago, Jesse White and I were playing Borderlands 2 like every weekend, sometimes during the week, because he wanted to beat it. And we got pretty close to the end, I think. And then we just stopped. And so we were talking about, they were posting, I think Jesse Flores posted on the Xbox games that are going to be free next month. And one of them was like Dead Space 3. And I was like, I tagged Jesse and I was like, man, we never finished Dead Space 3 or Borderlands 2. We should jump back into one of them. And so we chose Borderlands 2. And that was, I don't know, I just love the Borderlands games. Sometimes I do get sick of them, but it's been a while since I've jumped back into them. So it was fun playing it.
How do they hold up? Because my memories of those games are great, but how do they hold up? How's Borderlands 2 specifically?
I mean, it would have been a lot more fun if Jesse is like 4 levels higher than me, which is not that high. But all the missions he was picking were like a level higher than him. So I was like 5 levels under. And if anybody's played Borderlands games,
yeah, they'll destroy
those
you.
Games are freaking more RPG than they are shooter, because it doesn't matter how many headshots you do. If you're under level, they will destroy you. Like they were one-shotting me. I'm like, what's going on? I'm down again. And he's like, I'm down again. And I was like, dude, we're going to have to do some side missions or something because I'm just too underleveled and so are you. You're getting destroyed too. So it still holds up. It's still fun, but you do have to play the Borderlands games more as a RPG than a shooter because they just flood you with enemies. Like you'll think you cleared them all and then they'll just add more. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's ridiculous. But it was fun. It was nice to get back into that. And that's what I've been enjoying still. I know my plan was, I think the last time we did the show, I wanted to jump back into Prey. I wanted to jump back into Vampire, all that stuff. I didn't do it. I just was playing like casual games like Rocket League, Destiny 2, and then Borderlands 2.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, we all got to play it together again for after like 2 years peeing somewhere.
That was seeing him like, why is this Derek T guy so angry? Because it was like it was on his personal page and he's like sharing about him like hanging out with his kids, and I'm like angry. I'm like angry at him for hanging out with his kids, and his cousin's like, I don't understand. Why is this guy so mad at you all the time?
Oh, he did the same to me. Amazing. The same to me. I had a 10-year anniversary.
Regardless of what people say, like, some people might even be doing non-gaming stuff. Like Kyle went camping, and by the way, apparently saw a brown bear in his camp. Yeah, did you guys see crazy. That?
No, I didn't see
that. Yeah, I can't wait to hear that story. But anyway, and you know, people have got stuff with family and kids and going to see movies or playing video games, and everyone's sharing what they're going to play. And then John usually jumps in there and says, I might do this or that, but definitely having sex. It's like, well...
well why? And then he gets angry. I'm angry about it.
Why did you have to, like, now we don't think you're having any, now that you're saying it.
Well, that's why he's angry, because he's not having any.
But definitely, definitely going to do it. That's for sure.
It's going to be hot sex.
Future episode. In the industry. So one thing that is certainly clear is that the industry has changed a lot over the last, oh, even 5 years, let alone you look back 10, 20 years. So I thought we should look forward. And the three of us, as we're thinking about what we've seen with video games, we're all getting kind of old, right? So what we've seen with video games over the years and what we expect to see in the next few years, I'll let you decide for each of your predictions. We each should have three. How many years-ish in the future you think this will happen? This could be one of those like horrible nightmare things, but you think it's likely. Or it could be something that you can't wait to happen and you think it's likely. So the idea here is it's a prediction. And so in about 5 years, when we don't know each other at all, I'll still look you guys up and point out how wrong you were about whatever.
Fair, fair.
Yeah. So we'll get started with our guest, and then we'll go Derek, and then me. We'll just take turns sharing one prediction, future of the video game industry. And then, by the way, I want us to each take time to poke holes in how idiotic our predictions are. So, Daniel, you first.
Oh, okay. Good. I can't wait to be ridiculed.
Xbox is doing is not only are they providing this service, but they usually open it up for the digital copy to be bought, and then they will have it cheap the day that they announce it. So they'll be like, this game's coming to Xbox backwards compatibility and it's 50% off. So the game might be a $20 game and you can get it for $10, or it might be a $10 game and you can get it for $5. And then the other really, really cool thing, like this is a huge selling point for me personally. And for those people who are like, I don't go back and play old games. Well, I do. I've gone back and played a lot of these. But the other thing is with the power of the Xbox One X, and I'd like to see Sony do this as well, is they've made a lot of these games 4K. So, for instance, Jade Empire, I was playing that a couple weeks ago. That looks just as good on my Xbox One X as it does on my PC, but it works better. I had so many issues with that game on PC. I don't have any issues on my Xbox. It's because it's a console. It's just plug and play and have fun. So there's a couple of things that they're doing there with the digital side, making it cheap and affordable. And then also they're upgrading a lot of the games. They're saying, hey, this is what the game used to look like, but with the power of our console, we're going to act like it's a PC. You can now see it in native 4K and it looks better, it runs better, and you actually want to go back and play these games. So
yeah.
Well, that's exactly so kind of like with the Fortnite situation, how that's a hot button topic or whatever it is.
Going forward, PS5, stuff like that, you'll see.
Yeah. I'm thinking PS5 is when they'll be like, all right, we're listening. We're going to.
Doesn't mean that they're going to get rid of physical completely, but they are going to start offering services. In fact, EA is even upgrading their service that they're doing, and that they have, I think, like a standard Origins and then like a deluxe Origins, which the deluxe, I was reading about it, or whatever it's called, is you pay a little more, but you get all their games immediately. So as soon as they're launched, you get them. And it's not limited access, like, oh, you get it for 10 hours and then you have to buy the game. Like Battlefield 5, all of them will be yours until you you don't subscribe to that service anymore. And that's like $15 a month. So I think you're going to see that from all major developers. I think they're going to have a standard package and then their premium package. The standard might be kind of like how the original Origins was, where it's just like, hey, you can... I'm going to disappear because my phone's low again. But you can pay $10 a month and you'll get early access to the games, but you can only get them for 10 hours and then you have to buy it. Or you can do the premium for $15 and you get access to all our library, backwards compatible, forward games. Games are coming out in the future. You'll get them early and you'll get them as long as you want.
And this is sometime in the next 5 years, you're thinking.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they're going to start rolling out like EA is doing now. I think you're going to see other, like Ubisoft will probably be the next one to do it. They'll start rolling it out and stuff.
Didn't
like that.
Capcom already try like RE7 on Switch through a streaming style thing in Japan?
Yeah, I don't know how that went though.
I don't either, but it is interesting.
I don't know, has it launched yet?
I know they've been experimenting with it. So it's interesting you say that, because I'm with you that I think more and more publishers are going to try it. And I don't think it's way out of line to say that some of them will actually succeed. As internet connections continue to get stronger, as a super high speed internet connection becomes more and more the norm for most households, that totally could be a thing. And as phones, especially, like, you can use it as your hotspot or whatever, I could see that being a thing for sure. It does put a big question mark on systems like the Switch, though, when you're not near Wi-Fi. What does that mean for Switch games, you know? Because you'll still want to have things downloaded, ready to play on the go, but it's interesting. Speaking of Nintendo, we'll get to my first prediction here as Derek's trying to find a plug for his phone. Hopefully he doesn't die. Well, he could die. As long as his phone doesn't die, it's fine.
Yeah. Sasan would be sad.
I'm totally dead.
All right, so my first prediction does involve Nintendo. All three of mine are kind of like, they all kind of bum me out, because I think it's very, very possible they could happen. And I'm trying to think outside the box. I'm trying not to think about, like, you know, video game franchises that might make a return. I'm trying to think a little more larger scale for my predictions specifically. So I changed them. I had three and I changed them actually last night.
What are you doing?
So the first one, I think Nintendo will make a phone device.
Oh my God, you're destroying my fort.
As soon as... Wait,
what is happening in the Teague household?
Yeah, let's talk about people that for a second.
People are destroying forts. All three of my kids play Fortnite at the same time.
Oh, got it. I thought maybe they like built forts for real. I was like, that's awesome. But yeah. Fortnite, no. not as
this
awesome.
Is 2018, Tim.
My bad. Yeah. Something that competes directly with Google's Pixel phone and Apple's iPhone. It'll be some sort of Nintendo phone. And it will be so successful that they will eventually, probably in the next, since Derek gave it ballpark, I'll give mine in the next maybe 8 to 10 years, because I do think there'll be at least one more round of consoles for Nintendo. They will shift 100% to creating phones, possibly a compatible handheld like a DS type line, but probably just phones, and all of their game dev will go to mobile at that point. That's what I think Nintendo will end up doing. I think they'll have so they've already. Go ahead.
It makes me very sad.
Well.
It's a sad feature, Tim.
So I've wacky, sometimes successful, sometimes dumb ideas. I do think they'll find a way to, just like with the Switch, to still make it feel gamer friendly. So whether that means special controllers or add-ons, or their phone will somehow have attachments, not unlike the Switch Joy-Cons, that you can attach and make it feel more like a portable game system, but then remove, and it actually is legitimately a phone. I do think that's a route they will eventually go, personally. And I think it's going to make most people go, what are they doing? But those who stick with it will still have fun with the Marios and Zeldas and Pokemons that they make. But it'll just be a different feeling thing. I don't think they'll compete with the home console market in about 8 to 10 years. They'll be done with home console competition, I think. So that's prediction number one for me.
Yeah, it's similar to the whole.
Still looked back on fondly. I mean, that was still a great, and the N64 didn't win either in sales, but those were still great systems with great games, really unique games. Controllers that people keep making, quote unquote, hardware. I do think they will stop making home console stuff. I think the Switch is their first step away from just doing plug it into your TV and leave it in your entertainment unit. I think they're going to end up going so mobile and convenient. So it'll be a good thing for some and maybe not such a good thing for others, but my other predictions follow up on that a little bit, because I think all the companies will have some shifts here in the next 10 years, but we'll get to those. Let's circle back around to Daniel, unless Derek, you had thoughts on my idiotic prediction.
I have no thoughts on anything you ever say.
Awesome. Are you playing Octopath while we record too? That's great.
Yeah, totally. It's great.
You totally didn't give away your Switch to your son to go play Fork Knife all the time.
I know, and I was supposed to trade in Octopath because I was gonna get like $42 for it, and I never did it, so now I'm stuck with it.
Oh,
trash.
First world problems. All right, Daniel, what's your second prediction? Can you hear me?
Where are you going, Daniel? Where are you at?
Can you hear me?
All right, while Daniel's doing that, I'll just get on my second prediction.
Okay.
Mine, I said it was probably 5 years, but now that I think about it, it's probably 10 years down the road. And that is, I think we're going to go all digital and there will be no more consoles. Like, I think PlayStation will not exist. I don't think Xbox will exist. What I think they'll do is, going along what I was saying about the major publishers, which I think will be rolling out their stuff in the next few years to 5 years with their services. I think you'll get the same with PlayStation, Xbox. I'm sure Apple will jump into this and Nintendo. And that is all their games, all their library, everything will be an app that you can use on tablets and things like that. And they'll sell accessories. But I really don't think there's going to be really any more consoles. They're going to have TVs.
Next 5 years.
I would say 10 years.
Okay.
They'll have TVs that will have their apps built into, or their services built into them. So you just turn your TV on and then you have your entire PlayStation library there and so on.
So are you thinking like subscription service for each of them?
Yep.
Subscribe to this console app or whatever, and then you have access to their library for as long as you subscribe.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. All right. Again, that's in a way that sounds scary because I love, you know, having a console that I bought with the games that I bought for it. But on the other hand, the pure convenience of that could be a pretty amazing direction. So interesting to think about that. I wouldn't have any problems with that. And I don't think you're wrong. Let's shift it back over to Daniel because we missed you. Can you hear us now?
Can you see me now?
I can see you.
Guys are breaking out pretty heavy for me, but
we're not breaking up. We're still together.
Maybe I'll come back in.
Yeah, here you go. Can you hear us?
Daniel, do you want to try dropping out and jumping back in? Because I think maybe you're...
Son of a gun. This is what happens when you get Final Fantasy.
And he's out. Okay, so I want to add on to that point real quick. The subscription service based thing. I know a lot of people find that to be sound like really gross, you know, kind of skeezy and whatever else. I've never had a problem with it because I love my Netflix and my Hulu and my Spotify. Like I'm okay with a subscription service when I'm getting value every day, every week, every month. Yeah. And you sign up, you pay regularly, and then you're done. You've got full access to entertainment that allows you to cut the cord. Like we totally cut cable a couple years ago and haven't looked back. Mm-hmm. Things like that. And so services like Netflix, and I actually like Hulu as well because they combine to really cover just about everything I want to watch. They've covered that for me. And so with video games obviously being a major source of entertainment for me, I could see a good subscription service model replacing the idea of going out looking for sales and buying games the way we currently do, where you go and buy a game, you try to trade it in, you want to get it on sale, get it the day it comes out. Well, what about just subscribing to it, and then they give you the release dates, you know, of when you can start streaming that game, you know?
Yeah. And obviously Xbox is kind of doing that with their Game Pass as well. So it's obviously the future. They're going to do this.
I think Microsoft will make one more set. They're done with consoles after that, and they shift completely to streaming services for all devices. That includes, if possible, if Sony would play nice, you know, maybe even other consoles where you can access Xbox stuff by subscribing to their. So very similar to Derek's, except I think it's going to be Microsoft who goes first. And I think Sony and Nintendo will still be making some hardware after that, even though Microsoft goes first. So it's kind of like Derek's, except specific to Microsoft. But I'm going to add a different one that I wrote down last night, too. I do think that VR and AR, so virtual reality and was it augmented reality? Yeah. Those are essentially going to both 7 years. So I think they're kind of going to fade. These VR headsets that kind of made a splash a little bit, but have, for the most part, seem to not be talked about anymore. I think, and AR stuff with stuff like Pokemon, and I know Xbox, they showed off their Minecraft AR thing a couple years ago. I think all that stuff's going to disappear from the public view for a little while, and then I would say around 2025, we're going to see a major push for that again, and it's going to stick.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
See, mine kind of goes off. It is going to become extremely affordable and to the point where almost everybody owns a VR suit, VR headset, and we're going to become a society where, not that we're all fat and lazy, but we're going to turn to virtual relationships more than we are real relationships.
So like the WALL-E movie, and I don't say that as a joke. Like I love that movie, but when they're all riding around the little hover chairs and they're all super fat and can't walk.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it will be as bad as like WALL-E or even as bad as Ready Player One, but I do think I mean, people are already doing that. Like, you know,
so the Matrix. About, like,
you hear about like sex dolls and stuff like that, and people are like, "Oh, I don't even need a girlfriend because I have a sex doll." And it's like, that's because you can't deal with rejection. So now you're trying to skip that part because they always say yes. The sex doll always says yes, and just enjoy that. Well, that's what the future of VR and gaming is all going to be. Is
what do you think is more likely? If you had to guess, a really realistic, as in you'll never come out of it, VR experience, so someone could literally live there the whole lives, is that more realistic first, or is it more realistic that we have such realistic AI and androids a la Detroit Become Human that we can kind of create our own companions that way? Which do you think is more likely to happen first? Really realistic AI robotics or insanely in-depth VR that lets people get lost for the rest of their lives?
I could see both of them rolling out around the same time, but I would say the VR is probably
before Androids.
Yeah,
I think we're a little farther along than that than we are with robotics, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, you still have the risk of robots killing people, and so that's a long ways off. But like, I think with VR, it's a little bit safer. They're already rolling it out. It's again, it's just really high priced. Yeah. It's limited. If you watch Ready Player One, the main character has like a full body suit. He's got so he can actually feel things. And then for his whole body, he's got the headset. And then he also has like a whole setup where he's like, the ground is moving, but not moving. So he's invested in this full virtual world where he can just meet people. And that's what the movie's all about, is basically people live in this virtual world more than they live in the real world.
Which is depressing, but also the technology is cool. So it's, you know, it's both. It's both and. Yeah. And I think we lost Daniel again. So did you want to ask any questions for this baby that's sitting here with me? Do you have any interview questions?
I mean, is Tim really a good father? Is he a good father?
Yes, he is.
Wow, is that like his first words? That's pretty amazing.
His first words were, yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. Well, see if he'll say... If I'm handsome, that would be his second line. Just go ahead, little baby. No, not gonna say it. Jerk.
Terrible. For a baby. Woman.
Wow. Wow.
The worst comedy hour ever. Daniel.
Windows shifts to phone, and as I think Microsoft will shift first to streaming, I do think the last two competitors in the home console races before, I do think your prediction of all streaming will come true, probably more like 15 years. The last two main competitors in a home console field will be Sony and Apple, because I do think Apple's going to jump in pretty soon. And I think Sony and Apple are going to be the last two that are making these high-powered home consoles that you have to purchase, plug in, buy a game, kind of heart as the Switch, where it can be portable or it can be... And they will actually be pretty neck and neck with Sony until what you predicted comes true, and that is consoles go away altogether. So that's my next prediction, is that it'll be Apple versus Sony probably in about that same 7-year range when I think Microsoft will back out.
Yeah.
So that is my...
Some type of gaming streaming service. And they'll start buying some of these little gaming studios and start building their own first party.
Yeah,
heck, I think so. Netflix might do it. Yeah. Is he here or not? He keeps saying he left. He's gone.
Daniel, stop playing with our hearts. This is rough. Ah, sorry. This baby's trying to kick this entire setup I have with my mic on it.
Fine, it's like super finicky.
All right, why don't you give us your third and final prediction, and then I'll wrap us up.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Daniel. Give us number three. Go.
So does number three work for? And he's out.
I'll open the window. We're almost done. We would be done if it weren't for Daniel. My wife just walked in and hey. So we've got several kids in our house right now that we're taking care of for foster care. Mm-hmm. So my wife stayed home with the thereof. They get a snack. They learn about God, all that good stuff, and I don't have to worry about them. Well, we arrive, and there's a big sign that says, hey, this is our summer celebration Sunday. We invite families to all sit together in the main service. I was like,
oh my gosh.
Hard pass, not doing that. I'm not going to sit there with seven kids in a service that was supposed to be very quiet and reverent. No, not doing that. So we left right away, and we went to the park, and we played for a little while. Then I took seven kids. $100 worth of groceries. We had a list going anyway. I got them hot dogs and soda from Sam's Club for lunch, which is always a good deal, by the way.
Yeah,
I think I'm fine.
We don't think you're fine.
I know. I don't know then, what's happening.
And then, so that was my whole morning/afternoon. Got them home. Told them you'd come get it right now. Like, well, I'm supposed to record my podcast soon. She's like, yeah, well, they just need you to disassemble it. And I was like, all right. So I go over there, and of course, it's all like rusty, and it had just downpoured here, so everything's wet and slippery, and they're moving. So they hadn't mowed their backyard in like a month, so they had all these weeds growing everywhere. It was not a fun experience. And so that was my evening, really, before recording here tonight, was disassembling this very wet, rusty trampoline to bring home.
I thought you were buying a trampoline.
We did buy it from them, but just for not very much money. That's why we got it, because it was pretty cheap.
And yeah, it isn't. That's what I told Megan. I was like, when you messaged that, I was like, oh, so glad you're not the only wife that gets great deals and sends their husband out all by themselves to strangers' yep. houses to go get
all the
crap.
Time. All the time. Like strangers.
All the time. Yep. Hey, she's like, yeah, I got this free furniture that we're not going to use, and then I have to drive over there by myself and lift all this crap by myself. And she's just like, it was a really good deal. Yeah, but it just
This trampoline, I took it apart by myself. No instructions. I know a hilarious podcast called Potty Break, which I highly recommend to listen to while I did that. So anyway, I did that today. But yes, my wife will even send me out in the middle of nowhere, like up in the mount, and it's going to feature all LGBT women. And there's no combat in this game.
Yeah,
it is
true. You don't want to hurt women.
Yes, there's no combat at all in Final Fantasy 16. Instead, you're just saving the honor of those underprivileged. And the villain is white men.
Privilege.
Yeah, white men. Privilege. And and the game really doesn't end. There's no ending to it. It just continues.
An MMO.
Sounds awful.
So, Daniel, quick, give us
modular consoles. That means upgradable parts. So there would be tiers of systems, you know, like a $400 one, a $600 one, an $800 one. Or actually, no, that's not what I mean. What I mean is you'd buy a base console, and then there would be parts. Sorry. You'd pay for parts separately. And so if you want more RAM, you could swap out the RAM. If you want, you know, a better graphics card.
You mean a PC.
Yes, but with you the convenience of a console.
That's your damn prediction, is that you're gonna have PCs?
No, dude, it's in a way that doesn't make you angry at PCs. Like, there's literally plug and play, like USB ports.
That's how most
something.
PCs are now, though. They're literally plug and play, but most
gamers wouldn't be able to put together a PC or replace a part. That's something
that's the problem with those PC master race guys out there. It's like, it's just so easy. All you have to do is, and then they go through this really complicated set of instructions. And I'm like, well, you lost me already.
I mean, you see how easy it is to swap out the hard drive, right? It literally just, it's a screw and you unscrew it and you slide it out. So it would be that, but for RAM, graphics cards, whatever, and you know, being able to swap it in and out. Like just one little screw, and then you slide it out and back in.
Daniel and I see things differently. Daniel thinks that you're going to be able to upgrade your consoles, and I think consoles are going to go bye-bye.
It's because you guys are old farts and you don't believe in anything.
Just in this damn show.
That is one way to look at it. Hey, listen, this has been fun. Thanks for talking. Thanks for putting up with baby noise in the background and listening to my wife come in and tell me that the room smells or whatever. It's been great.
Did I miss that?
You did. You did. It's been a lot of fun.
I'm sorry about my network connectivity.
Yeah, that's all right. Okay. Easy for you to say. All right. I'm going to go ahead and go because Derek's face is getting increasingly, why do I do this?
Hey, let's talk about more DFC games. That should make me happy.
Next week, we will cover in-depth Salt and Sanctuary, Iconoclasts, Dead Cells. We'll cover all of it next week. All
right. Can't wait.
Sounds good. Hey, thank you guys for listening. Thanks, Daniel, for joining us. Kinda. See you guys later.
Thank you.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?